what we are meant to be and do on this earth and how we are meant to steward the gifts that he gave us. Only his word can unveil that to us. We can't unveil that to each other. I'm glad you think maybe sometimes I have advice that's helpful to you. You have advice that's helpful to me. But at the heart of it is God showing us, the Holy Spirit showing us how to get that done and giving us the equipping to get it done. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. This week, I'm sitting with my friends, Allie, Carol, and Romy. Each of us has a unique perspective on the humility of Christ we find in Philippians chapter 2. I hope you can find your own understanding, even as we are finding ours. This program is part of a series, but don't worry if you're not caught up. You can visit us at studywithfriends.org and listen free and on demand anytime. You can also grab the discussion guide there, which has all the scriptures we reference, along with a few questions to help you search your own heart for humility. God is showing us, and we are so glad to share with you, that humility is something we can truly embrace as we draw closer to Jesus' most beautiful and humble heart. He has already equipped us through his work on the cross. Let's talk about it. Practically speaking, here's how I do it with my kids. Of course, all teenagers experience people who outwardly offend them on the worst
and adults
part, yeah, on the worst part of the spectrum, and on the smallest part, just annoy them.
Yeah.
Okay. I just unpack with them to help them see how hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if I'm helping them understand what may have driven that, it can help them have grace. And when I have grace, I'm not hurt because I see, oh, you're broken. Like, I'm broken too, dude. Right? Like, I can look at you as my oppressor and say, okay, you're just broken in a different way than I am, but I'm broken too. And the ways that you're hurting me, I'm no better than you. I might hurt someone like that tomorrow. All of a sudden, grace flows through and you don't feel like I'm not getting what I deserve, and you're not white knuckled about your own stuff, but you're saying, oh my gosh, that person has a cruddy life and they're experiencing brokenness and they don't even have Jesus Christ, and I have, I'm going to be okay. And maybe they're not, and this experience will come and go. I am going to be okay, and they might not be okay. I said, actually, to Gianna, this is another great quote. I put it on my Facebook before I gave up Facebook for Lent. It's not my own. I wish I could source it, but it said, we want to be judged by our intentions, but we judge others by their actions.
Mm. Right.
Let that sink in.
Yeah.
We judge others by their actions, but we want to be judged by our intentions.
That's really good.
It is really good because it's the truth. And so when you unpack it and you say that to your kid, it's really hard for them to argue that down and say, well, wouldn't you want to be judged by your heart? Couldn't you have made a mistake like that? I said to my daughter, I said, you know, should you really judge him by just one moment in time? This person who you're like, have no use for, would you want to be judged? Can you think of times in your life when you acted really yucky and you could say, oh, I would really not want anybody to judge my whole self by that one moment? And she was like, well, yeah, but my heart is, I said, that's right. You want to be judged by your heart, but you're judging others by their actions. And we all do that. Mm. Does that help?
Yeah, that was really good.
And it's in there. It's in Philippians.
Right.
It's right in there. And so sure what we deserve, and then the partner scripture of Luke 9:58, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then just this identity thing again about what is my true identity and what is my heart, and then being able to see the world in a different way. Okay, so that was a good question. I'm glad you asked it.
Good stuff.
Okay, so I'm going to look. Yeah.
Loving the people that hurt you is the hardest thing to learn.
Right.
I have reconnected with my mother and reconnected with my father. I was molested by my father and beaten by my mother. I have my father asked for forgiveness. He didn't know I was coming. He asked for forgiveness to my face. And I have compassionately, I don't even know how I'm able to like look at him.
Right.
And I went to go see him for his birthday, wish him happy birthday, and he's like in shock. And there was no busser, so I went and I started washing the dishes.
Her parents own a restaurant.
I'm like, Isabel, here's a rag. Go bust some tables. So she started bussing tables, and I'm sitting there side by side with my father, my molester, the person that has destroyed a ton of my life, mm-hmm. as my mother, sitting there that has beaten me for a lot. Loving the people that have hurt you the most is the hardest thing to do, and you will become humbled in it, and you will serve them. So that's what you teach to others.
Right.
To love them, because they do not know what they do.
Yeah.
Even Jesus said that on the cross.
Yeah, that's true. Notice that God forgive them, for they not know what they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so, really
good. Powerful, Allie.
So powerful.
It's, the core of it is their brokenness.
Yeah. I mean,
and
my father.
Being able to finally see from a perspective of, that's despicable, but I'm broken, mm-hmm. and he's broken.
Like, I went to go see him, and he slipped and fell, and they had the argument. I'm like, Mom, go get me this, 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 and this, and I'm wrapping my father's leg. And he's like, why? I'm like, you are no different than I. I said that to him. You're no different than I. And I wrapped him on his leg. I'm like, I'll be right back. I have something for you. And I went to go get the boot that Bo was like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that hilarious? I went to go get the boot because my Bo, he messed up his ankle, and I gave it to my father. So just like that kind of Jesus love, once you take your heart out of it, and it's a heart issue, and you find your identity of who and what he is, it will be easier to just love the people that hate you.
Yeah.
Well, and let me zone in again on something you just said. I'm going to read it. It's John 15:5, because we're talking about the how. We're doing a lot of the talking about the how. How does that look? How do I do that? How do I pull that off? What? Where do I even find that? We're giving some practical advice, and that's good. But we also have to remember that John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So please don't let us talk. We're not a self-help group. We're not talking about giving each other advice and mentoring each other and figuring out. That's in here. But we do it from the core of Scripture, which is the only way we can make any lasting changes in our lives. It's the only way we can make any true understanding of what we are meant to be and do on this earth, and how we are meant to steward the gifts that he gave us. Only his word can unveil that to us. We can't unveil that to each other. I'm glad you think maybe sometimes I have advice that's helpful to you. You have advice that's helpful to me. But at the heart of it is God showing us, the Holy Spirit showing us how to get that done and giving us the equipping to get it done. Because again, if we thought we could do it ourselves, that's an identity problem. Right?
Right.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I hit that note. Okay. So we've actually talked about several of the questions already. I'm not going to beat those horses. We did talk about, do you want to do a quick definition? What is the definition of pride, and what is the definition of humility? I feel like we've covered it, but we can circle back.
Well, I Googled it. So the Google definition I came up with was a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements.
That's perfect. I have nothing to add to that. Okay. What is the definition? Did you Google humility?
Yeah, I did.
Give it up.
You want that one
please?
Too? You got it.
Preach.
A modest or low view of one's own importance, humbleness.
Ah, also perfect, because it didn't say a modest or low opinion of oneself.
No, it said of one's own importance. Yeah.
Which is, oh my gosh, so perfect. Romy, you get a star for those two definitions.
Yay, or me.
You can pass it along to Google. It's exactly what we've been talking about. It's not a low opinion of yourself. It's a low opinion of your importance. Am I really? And guys, I got news for you, in case you didn't know, and I've been reminding myself, I don't matter that much in the big scheme of things. Really don't. Really don't. The best I can hope to do is have a positive impact in the short little life that I'll have. In the council of eternity, it's like not even a drop in the bucket.
It's true.
It's not even a drop in a bucket. It's like an atom in the bucket. What's the smallest thing? Molecule? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's nothing. If I think that, like, what do I think I'm going to do? Something so important in my teeny tiny lifetime? You know? No, I'm not that important.
You're so small compared to the massive universe.
Yeah.
You're like, boop.
But somehow we believe the lie that we're super important and impactful. We can be impactful in the council of the kingdom.
Right.
With
the
power of the spirit, we can be impactful, but we are not important. You're not important. Because guess what? God doesn't need us to do any of that. If we don't decide to shepherd or steward our gifts that way, he'll get it done anyway. He's God. So we're not important. We can be impactful. We're not important. Okay. So that was great. No, nothing to add to those definitions. Let's move now into the discussion questions. So the first few questions are centered around when we grapple with pride, because of course pride is the opposite of humility. I'm wishing now that I had done more compare and contrast, like, you know what? I can do it right now. So the first question is, when do you most easily give in to pride? Let me do a compare and contrast. Let me say that sentence again. Let me do a compare and contrast by asking, when do you best display humility? So I'm throwing a curveball at you because I only gave you one question in the homework. I'm not going to say display. That's even the wrong question because it's a that looks like a results-based thing. So here's the new question. Ready? The new question is two-pronged. I see you. Oh, sorry. I'm seeing you wrong. The two-pronged question is, when do you most easily give in to pride? Contrasting with, when do you best embrace humility? Yeah, Allie.
My pride is when it revolves around myself, when I need, with the things that I need, I feel like I could do it. I'm good.
Can you give me like a circumstantial, this is when I see this showing up and this is when I see that showing
when
up?
When I'm having a hard time with my own self, like with my own self thoughts, when my own, like, you know, even if something's broken, I become prideful to even ask for help from others. I become prideful in, oh, I'll get it done. I'm fix it Felix. I could take care of everything. I'll do it. I got it. You know, it's about me. It's, you know, I become so prideful within that image that of self-worth that, okay, well, I'm not, well, because pride could not only be a like boosting up, it could also be a tearing down. I tear myself down to the point of like, I'll take care of it because someone else is busy. I'll take care of it because I don't matter that much. I'll take care of it because, oh, everybody else has their own issues. Like, you know, they care, but they really don't care.
So two things you said in there. One, I can take care of that because I know how,
mm-hmm.
which is pride.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wouldn't call it pride, but we would call self-involvement by saying, I'm the least among those who could do it, so I should probably do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's both of those. Those are the two sides of the coin of self-involvement. Self-involved because you think so lowly of yourself. Self-involved because you think so highly of yourself. Both being self-driven. That's really good. You showed both sides of that.
But when I do it for others, I'm good. That's when I know because I love others more than I'll ever love myself. I will love others. When it revolves around others' love, I'll just be me.
Yeah.
But when I have to guard and value myself the way God values me, that's when I'm the most prideful.
Mm. Ugh, tricky stuff.
But shouldn't you love yourself because God loves you that way?
That's what she's saying she struggles with.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I struggle with.
Okay. So maybe if I can compare and contrast myself and Allie, I might love myself more than I should. If I'm being honest, I might think more of myself than I should. Allie thinks less of herself than she should. And in the middle is where we identify what God tells us we are. And we are no more and we are no less. One of us is leaning one way wrongly. One of us is leaning the other way wrongly.
It's still pride, though.
It's still self focus.
Right.
Wrong That's self-focus instead of mm-hmm. Christ-focused.
Yes.
Yep. Anybody else want to do a compare and contrast on when you bet? I would say circumstantially, I share your... if I feel like I can do something, if I feel like I have the skill set, that's when my pride creeps in again, because I feel like that's an I'm a results. My identity problem is a results based problem. I'm like, I can produce results. And I find my identity in that. Mm. That's my core pathology. And so I do give in to pride when I think, oh, I can do that. But not unlike you, I think that I can do that. And then I can do this. And then people at work and people at home, and I'm like, I'll take care of it, and because I believe that I can, and then I break in a different way,
mm-hmm.
and then my identity falls apart because I didn't get the results I thought I could produce, and then who am I if I can't produce results? But when I circumstantially, when I'm best able to embrace humility, it's when I'm regularly in the Word and regularly in fellowship with other believers. So for me, it has to be a balance with both. I can spend a lot, and God is merciful and gracious to me. And I spend time in His Word, and the time between Him and I take everything I need from that. Everything I need comes from my time with the Lord. However, I understand things better when I bounce them off my girlfriends at Bible study, or when I hear other people struggling with something in a different way, like what we're doing right now. So I need that too, every bit as much. I need that time together in fellowship to gain a deeper understanding of what God gave me in my time with Him individually. So He'll give me something, and then He'll deepen it when I reflect in fellowship with others. And that's when I'm able to really, and I wrote on my list, actually, that's when I have all the things I'm supposed to have. I have more grace. I have more humility. I have more faith. I have more peace. Circumstantially, that's when I have my life in the right place, is when I'm doing regular study of the Word and regular fellowship with His people. And it doesn't have to be in a formalized Bible study. Sometimes I just need to sit down with Allie or Romy, go to coffee with Carol. And I just had coffee before we sat down. I went with Leanne. We went and met early this morning, and it doesn't, there's no formula for what it has to look like. But I need that. I know that about myself. And that's not a failing of my family or my husband, because my girlfriends will be honest with me, and they're transparent, sharing their own struggles, as you guys have been like, well, actually, how does that even fit together? You know, like, that's honest to say, I don't really see how that fits together. And when we talk that through, then the next time I need to ask you how something fits together, or I'm going to talk to you about some of the struggles that one of your children is going through, because my child is going through the same thing, which I do need you to stay after so you can help me with that. So you see what I'm saying? And so for me, circumstantially, that's when God can produce the best fruit in my life. And of course, that comes back to Him telling me the truth about, I am the vine and you are the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When I think I can do things apart from Him, I fail. When I know I can't do anything apart from Him and I just abide, I'm getting all the inheritance that He wants to give me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility. All the things He intends to give me as an inheritance, I can be present for when I'm in relationship with Him. So circumstantially, that's everything for me. And I've too often, I mean, really, I didn't even get to Bible study last week. And I so tanked earlier this week. I was like, and Greg asked me on Thursday, he was like, Wednesday I tanked at work. And Thursday, he was like, how are you doing today? I was like, 180 degree turn. I cannot miss Bible study. He was like, well, I'll hold you accountable to that. I'll make sure that you get there then. And he knows that. I was like, I'm totally better. Totally better. I just needed to be in the Word and with my girlfriends. And I'm better.
Mm, so true.
See, I'm the opposite. I've been disobedient in being with Him because I've become prideful.
Well, but that's the same.
Yeah, okay.
It's actually the same, because I'm so busy doing the things I think I can do, I don't get to Bible study.
Yeah. Well, like the one-on-one time, like sometimes I'll sit there and I, like, today was awesome because I had my fellowship with Him. I was listening to His Word. I was on His music. I was good. I'm good for the whole day. But the times that I don't spend that time with him mm-hmm. because I am fearful of myself mm-hmm. and I become prideful mm-hmm. in it, I just unravel.
It's about just getting right back in there, because for me, I had laid down our Bible study. It wasn't lighting me up, and pridefully, I was like, I'm not getting that much out of it. And then when I finally dove back into it, I remembered, oh, hello, God will meet me wherever I am, whatever I'm studying. All I have to do is sit down and be present with him. It's not about the content. It's not about the author. It's not about the paragraphs. It's not about the format. It's not about how many times I've studied this subject before. How arrogant of me to think, and I'm not going to make time for that because it's not really doing anything for me. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's when you finally do get back into it, you're like, Why did I abandon this? This is the best thing I can do for myself. And then I just got right back on. And then I couldn't put the book down. Mm-hmm. This book that I was like, meh. Over the last 3 days, I've launched forward. I was way behind in my homework. I'm all caught up, and now I'm ahead because I couldn't put it down. Because it wasn't about the book. It was about spending time with God. Mm-hmm. And I remembered how valuable and wonderful and fulfilling that is.
It's intimacy. Yes. It's being that, like, he will meet you in an intimate level.
That's right.
Anywhere you are.
And as
in
humans,
any condition you are.
As humans, we crave intimacy. Mm-hmm. And yet we find ourselves too busy to connect. Too busy to connect with our girlfriends at Bible study. Too busy to connect with our husbands in any way. Too busy to connect with the Lord. And we're robbing ourselves of the thing that fills us up the most. Mm. Let's talk.
I had an answer to where I harbor pride. That's
let me hear it.
Off topic here, or moving on to a different topic. Probably for me, it's the most evident in my. I'm a very logical person. I'm pretty well educated. I know scripture pretty well, and so when I come upon a situation, I sort of feel like I know the best way to respond and. It's biblical and it's smart and it, you know, and I see other people, some issues in our neighborhood with the kids and all that. I just see other parents telling their kids things or encouraging their kids to act a certain way or their response is a certain way. And I know that's all not right. And the way that I'm responding is the more mature way, not that you don't want to respond to something in a biblical way or be responding in a way that encourages your kids to do right, but the attitude behind it is, you know, well, we got this down. We know how to do this right.
You struggle with pride most when you think you have it figured out and you see other people around you who are doing it in a way that you would judge as wrong. It's good that you identify it as wrong. Hi, it's Holly again. What a merciful example Christ sets for us through his humble heart. I'm so thankful for the ways his word helps me know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study, just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word. He instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us too, so we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you miss any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there, or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we're also 100% donor supported. So if you're particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible or maybe a book about prayer or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.